Chapter 7. Kendall. "Thank you," I whispered, unsure what I was grateful for. Was it for what he had done to Evan? Was it for giving me the first and most incredible sexual experience of my life? At that moment, I didn't know and didn't care. I just knew that I was bathing in warm caramel, and I had never felt better in my life. But even though I didn't know why I said it, Nero thought he did. "I'm glad you liked it," he said with a smile. I was willing to let him have his ego boost. After all, the blowjob was pretty great. I was torn whether or not I should ask him for another. Not at this moment, of course. Right now, my brain felt like it was in a popcorn maker. Thoughts were bouncing around in my head faster than I could understand them. I would have chosen to stay in Nero's arms a lot longer if flashing red and blue lights hadn't lit up the truck. "Shit, it's the cops. Get back to your seat, Kendall. We don't want to have to explain what we were just doing to a couple of good old boys." Knowing Nero was right, I pulled myself from under him and climbed into the passenger seat. He got back into his and returned his chair upright. "Pull up your pants," Nero told me, reminding me that my dick was still out. As I said, a lot was going on in my head. I buttoned my pants and settled moments before a bright light filled the cabin. It was followed by a knock on the window and Nero rolling it down.
"What are you two boys doing out here?"
the cop said from behind a glowing ball. Nero replied,
"Are we not supposed to pull over here?"
"I'm sorry, officer.
I was feeling a little tired and I thought it was better to pull over than risk it."
The cop bounced his light between the two of us, then around the inside of the truck. When he didn't find anything, he turned it back towards Nero.
"You boys been smoking anything? You know that stuff's illegal in the state of Tennessee." "Wouldn't dream of it, officer."
"Then why does your truck smell like weed?"
"Does it?" Nero turned to me. "It must be on our clothes. We just left a friend. I don't want to get him in trouble, but we were in his room for a minute and there you go."
I couldn't tell if the cop believed Nero. The good thing was that Nero was telling the truth. That must have come across because, after only a few more dirty looks, he said,
"There's a rest stop 5 miles up ahead. If you need to rest, you should do it there. It's dangerous to pull over on the side of the highway like this, and parked on the line like you are, you could cause an accident."
"Sorry about that. I didn't realize.
We'll keep it moving from here on out. I just needed a minute to wake up. I'm better now. I can keep driving."
Still not hinting whether or not he believed us, the officer nodded and said,
"Use the rest stops if you have to. Otherwise, you two have a good night, you hear?"
"You too, officer. Thank you," Nero said, as if he were the most polite person in the world.
"Thank you,"
I said as the officer walked away. When he was far enough out of sight, we laughed. It had been a crazy night. We both knew to get home before anything else happened. Just like the drive to Nashville, the drive back to campus was a quiet one, probably for different reasons. Driving there, my mind swirled about whether Nero was serious and what it might feel like to watch Evan get what he deserved. Driving back, I couldn't stop thinking about Nero's lips on me and what it meant.
"Should I drop you off at your dorm?"
Nero asked as we approached campus.
"It's pretty late."
"I reckon.
Maybe we could talk about things tomorrow."
"We could do that. Maybe we can grab dinner together again? You know, without the 6-hour drive and other stuff."
"Without all of the other stuff? Because some of the stuff we did was pretty fun," Nero said, blushing.
I couldn't deny that.
"We should talk tomorrow," I said, leaving it at that.
"Okay, just let me know if I can do anything for you. I'm more than happy to lend a hand."
"Or a few other body parts?" I asked, blushing.
"Whatever you need," he said, dropping me off in front of my building.
"Tomorrow?" I asked, not really wanting to leave.
"Tomorrow."
I stared at him, getting lost in his eyes. Perhaps I should have just opened my door and left, but instead, I leaned across the cabin, kissed him on the lips, and then hurried out. I didn't look back. It was hard enough walking away from him. And when I say hard, I'm referring to my cock. There was a lot of time between him making me come and me getting out of his truck. I was more than ready for round two. Unfortunately, his spell on me only lasted a few minutes after I climbed into bed. It was past 2 a.m., so Corey was asleep, and it was way too dark and quiet for my mind not to return to what had inspired the night. I couldn't believe that I had watched Nero beat the crap out of Evan. As I thought about it, my body shivered. I don't know why, but as soon as that happened, I melted into a crying mess. Eventually crying myself to sleep, I was only awake for a minute before the tears began again.
"You okay?" Corey asked, startled by the sound of me wailing.
"I'm all right," I said through my sobbing. As hard as I've always been to live with, I never felt sorrier for Corey than I did now. At least previously I could explain why I woke up screaming or chose not to leave my bed. Today, I couldn't even do that. I was crying. That was that. Of course, as the day continued and the spontaneous bouts of bawling carried on, I got a better sense of why it was happening. These weren't tears of anger or frustration. They were from a soul-felt release. These tears were from all of the times I hadn't cried as a kid. For so long, I had thought that Evan Carter wouldn't get justice for the things he had done to me. I knew that an eye for an eye left everyone blind. But why was I supposed to be okay carrying around the terror and pain he inflicted on me while he got away without consequences? Before last night, I didn't believe that fairness existed. Because it didn't. God couldn't exist, and there was no way life could be trusted. We were just specks of nothing floating aimlessly in a void of emptiness. But that had changed. As brutal as it was, Nero had given me hope that everything might be all right. Helping others to have a better life would be worth it. What you put out to the world came back to you. I hadn't needed proof of this to want to be a therapist, but knowing there was justice in the world had changed my life. With every tearful outburst, my life felt a little lighter. And by the time I met Nero for dinner, I was practically giddy with happiness. I was pretty sure he thought I was high.
"You high?" Nero asked right on cue. "Because if you are, why aren't you sharing?"
"No, I'm not high. I just feel different."
"Really? The blowjob was that good, huh?"
he said, looking proud of himself. I didn't want to burst his bubble.
"You're a miracle worker. Then maybe we should do that again."
"Maybe we should," I said, thinking it wasn't a half bad idea.
"Want to get out of here?"
I didn't mean now.
"What then? In 5 minutes? You want us to leave separately so no one knows what we're doing? There's a bathroom 2 floors down. I could meet you there. It wouldn't even be an issue."
I laughed.
"I'm serious."
"I know you are. That's what makes it funny," I said, reaching over to his chair and placing my hand on his arm. I liked touching him. Doing it filled me with a warmth that told me that everything was going to be all right. "No, Nero. You did what you did for me last night, and I appreciate it."
"You're welcome,"
he said, again referring to his blowjob. "Not that. I'm talking about the other thing."
"Oh."
Reminding him of it took a bit of the wind out of his sail.
"That."
"Yeah, that," I confirmed.
"I'm just glad I could help you get what you deserved.
Honestly, after the things you described, I don't think a beating and his apology is enough." "It's enough. Besides, that wasn't the only thing that happened. You gave me my life back. I was stuck in that nightmarish loop and it warped the way I saw everything. You straightened it out for me. It was more than any therapy ever could." Nero's head dipped sheepishly.
"I'm just happy I could do that for you, you know?"
"You're an amazing guy, Nero Roman. And now it's my turn to help you."
"I'm pretty screwed up. You're not going to be able to beat someone up for me and make it all better like I did."
"I don't know. I'm pretty strong," Nero laughed.
"Hey, it's not that funny."
I know.
"You're pretty strong. But maybe you leave the fighting to me."
"Whatever," I said with mock frustration. Holding the joke for a moment, we both laughed. No, I think the way I can help you requires more lips than fists. Oh, definitely. That's gonna help a lot. I meant talking. Oh, that. Yes, that. Maybe you can tell me what's bothering you. Right now, I'm good. Believe me, sitting here with you, I couldn't be better. I had to admit that that felt pretty good to hear, but he wasn't going to sidetrack me with sex, as great as that sounded. Okay, so you're good right now. But what about when you smashed up that car? And how did you know how to get into Evan's house? And why are you so good with your fists? Something tells me they're all linked. Nero stared at me, not giving an inch. Come on, the only way you were able to help me was that I was willing to open up to you. It might not have seemed it, but that wasn't easy for me. You now know more about what happened to me than anyone outside of the people who were there. If I'm gonna help you, you're gonna have to let me. I wanna do this for you, Nero, but you have to let me in. Nero's jaw tightened. His head drooped.
If you wanna know the truth, then here it is. Let's start with why I smashed up that car.
Okay.
I did it because of you.
What?
It was after you told me to go fuck myself.
I didn't tell you to go fuck yourself.
That's what it felt like, Nero said, drowning in pain.
I'm sorry about that. It was shitty of me, even if you now know why I said it. There's no excuse for it.
No, I get it. If what happened to you happened to me, I would feel the same way.
I don't feel that way anymore, though, I said, touching his muscular forearm again.
I'm glad, he said, offering me a gentle smile.
Here's the thing, though. What I said was bad, but what about it made you go video game on a car?
I don't know.
Come on, I'm sure you can give me some idea. Before you did it, were you thinking of anything? Did something else flash into your mind? Nero thought about it.
Something did.
Good. What was that?
My father.
Okay. What's your father like?
I wouldn't know.
Why not?
Because I never knew him.
So you and Cage grew up with just your mom?
Cage and I met less than a year ago. Is he a half-brother? No, we're full brothers.
Trying to work it out, I got very confused. You're gonna have to explain it to me. I'm not putting it together.
Nero leaned back and then told me about the last year of his life. He told me how Quinn and Cage found him and where he was when they did.
So you organized fight clubs?
It was the only way I knew how to make money.
How do you make money running fight clubs?
By betting on yourself, he explained.
Got it.
I didn't like doing it. Okay, sometimes I did, but I also had a shitty busboy job because I was trying to find a way out of it.
So, the anger you feel?
What about it?
It's because you grew up without a father? Nero looked at me and again leaned back.
You know, Cage and Quinn just got the keys to their new place. They're gonna be moving my mother in this weekend. They need me to move my stuff.
How would you feel about going up with me?
That way, I don't have to explain everything. You could just see it.
I froze, not expecting this. It felt like such a loaded question. Did he realize that he was asking me to meet his mom? And what about the sleeping arrangements? Was he doing this with the hopes that we would have sex? Did I want to have sex with him? Was I ready to have sex?
It's okay if you don't want to, he said, trying to hide his disappointment.
I didn't say that.
So, you want to?
I grunted, torn. Can I think about it?
Of course.
Maybe we should grab something to eat. I'm feeling pretty hungry, and the cafe is closing soon.
We should do that, Nero said, seeming much more sober than moments ago.
Once the mood changed, it never went back. After we were done eating, I got out of there by saying I had to get up early for a class. I told him I would give him an answer to his invitation in a few days, and I was going to. I just needed to figure out everything about him and where I wanted the rest of my life to go first. No problem. Between jacking off to the memory of Nero sucking me and classes, the week flew by. As the weekend approached, I still hadn't come any closer to a decision. Because I hadn't, I was hiding from Nero. I didn't mind sending delayed responses to his texts, but I wasn't yet ready to see him. Thinking a change of scenery would help, I took a walk around campus. Nearing Commons, I decided to browse the bookstore within. It mostly sold textbooks, but occasionally they'd have something worth me buying to pretend I've read. Walking the aisles, I stopped with a jolt when I saw someone I recognized. Quinn was staring at the craft supplies with his back to me. I wondered if I should say hi, and decided it couldn't hurt. Quinn? Quinn turned around and stared at me with a confused look on his face. Kendall, I reminded. Yeah, he said awkwardly. As he continued to stare at me without saying anything, I began to think I made a mistake. We watched the football game together. We got pizza afterward. It was fun. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I know who you are. Cage says I have a tendency to stare without saying anything. I guess I keep expecting people to read my mind, he said with a chuckle. No worries, I said, feeling the awkwardness fade. You look like you have something on your mind. Yes, I do. Do you know what a moonshine festival is? Isn't it a pagan ritual type of thing? No, the other moonshine. Ah, yes, a Tennessee specialty. Moonshine, I mean. What about it? Snowtip Falls, the town where Nero grew up, is having their first annual moonshine festival, and since I'm becoming a part of the community, I thought I should volunteer to do something big. What did you do? I asked, seeing where this was going. I volunteered to be the mascot. I put my hand over my mouth. You didn't. I did, and I said I would make the costume. I stared at Quinn and then burst out laughing. Why on earth would you volunteer to do that? I'm the new guy in town. Besides, everyone's been so welcoming to Cage and me that I wanted to do something to say thank you. And nothing says thank you for not being homophobic pricks like dancing around in an oversized, uncomfortable costume all day while kids laugh and point. The town's not like that. It really is quite nice. In fact, the only problem we've ever had was with Nero, and now he's head over heels for a guy. He is? Who? I said, feeling an unexpected rush of jealousy. You. Quinn stared at me blankly. Wait, did you not know that? Did I say something I shouldn't have? Oh, I'm sorry. Forget I said that, he said, starting to panic. No, you didn't speak out of turn. He's made his feelings clear. I guess I just have a hard time believing that someone like him could be interested in someone like me. Oh, yeah, I had the same feeling about Cage. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but they are two pretty hot brothers. No, I don't mind. It's hard to miss. So does that mean that you're into Nero as well? I took a deep breath, unsure what to say. Who knows? I'm such a mess. But you, what are you planning on doing for the Moonshine mascot outfit? I was thinking about making a mason jar. I mean, that's what they would drink moonshine out of back in the day, right? I winced. It's more what fancy restaurants serve drinks in nowadays to fake a down-home vibe. Is it? Your New York is showing, honey. Is it? Then what do I do? Quinn asked frantically. Why don't you just do a moonshine jug? What's that? I looked at Quinn, stunned. What did they even teach you in high school? Math, he said dryly. I laughed. Touché. Well, now that you're in Tennessee, you're gonna have to go back and learn the fundamentals. I tried to explain what a moonshine jug looked like. By the time I got to the part about there being three X's on the front of it, he was lost. Why are there three X's on it? To tell people that they will die if they drink it. Moonshine's grain alcohol. It'll burn your insides out. But people do drink it, don't they? He asked, confused. Of course. What else are you going to do with it? Make a car bomb? he asked wryly. I laughed hard. That's only after you've drunk it. Okay, so it's clear I need some help with this, he said, defeated. I could help you. You could? Sure, I mean, you clearly need help, and I've made enough wireframe dresses to fill a festival. Why would you make wireframe dresses? I went through a rebellious phase, I explained. I thought I could bring couture to Nashville. FYI, I didn't. Oh, do you want to be a fashion designer? No, a therapist. Which also makes sense, Quinn said, considering it. I stared at him, speechless. I didn't know if he was being funny on purpose or not, but the guy was hilarious. I really liked him. So, did you want my help creating your masterpiece? You don't know how much. And just so you know, a masterpiece would be great, but I'm aiming for not humiliating myself. Well, you'll be dressed as a moonshine jug at a small town festival. So, Quinn, that ship has sailed, I said sympathetically. It was Quinn's turn to laugh. With a project to take my mind off of Nero and whether I would join him this weekend, I led Quinn out of the bookstore. Since neither of us had cars, we walked to the nearest art supply store. Picking up framing wire, reams of cloth, paint, and sewing supplies, we took a rideshare back to his dorm. The guy didn't live like the rest of us. He lived in the building jokingly referred to as Beverly Hills. Spreading everything out in his living room, I showed him a few pictures of what I was thinking of and got to work. It was fun, and it turned out to be a great way to pick his brain about Nero. So, what did you mean when you said that Nero was the only one who gave you and Cage a hard time? Nero wasn't always as in touch with what he wants as he is now, and things might have come out a little wonky. He was a closet case? Yeah, I guess. I thought about that a little more. He has a temper, doesn't he? Quinn's eyes flicked up to mine. He didn't need to say anything. The answer was clear. He's had a hard life. He's mentioned something about that. I think if Cage hadn't come along, his life might have led down a dark path. It's difficult growing up without either of your parents. I thought he said he grew up with his mother. He did. She was physically there, but in all of the important ways, he was alone. She had a rough go of things too. She's only now returning to her full self. Wow. Yeah, so he might be a little angry and rough around the edges, but he was exactly how strong he needed to be to survive the world he was forced into. And the more I get to know him, the more I see how he uses his darker side. Nero is a protector. He looks after his pack. If you're on the outside, you better watch out. But if you're one of those he lets in, you are the safest you will ever be. I thought about what Quinn said throughout the rest of dinner. It made sense. Wasn't that what happened with Evan? Hadn't Nero done what he had to protect me? You should come check out the festival, Quinn said as we approached a stopping point for the night. You're doing all of this work. You at least need to see me humiliate myself in it. Cage and I just got a place. We have an extra bedroom if you want to stay over. Oh, Nero mentioned that you and Cage bought a house. Congratulations on that. Thanks, and we have plenty of room for guests. Nero had actually invited me up this weekend to help him move in. Oh, Quinn said, looking at me surprised. Did you say yes? I told him I had to think about it. You should do it. If you feel comfortable. I mean, do whatever you'd like. You'd be very welcome if you do. You've met Titus. He'll be in town too. It should be a fun time. It could be, I said, feeling very tempted. Agreeing to come back the following day to help him finish his costume, I headed back to my place. I was pretty sure if Nero hadn't invited me first, I would have already accepted Quinn's invitation. It wasn't that I didn't want to spend time with Nero. I absolutely did. I wanted more of what we did in his truck. But that was the problem. The reason I was in his life was to help him, not help myself to him. What if I let myself fall for him? There would be no coming back. How could I resist him? Not only was he as hot as sin, but I liked everything about him. And Quinn was right. When I was with him, I felt safer than I had ever been in my life. That wasn't saying much, considering the hell Evan and his asshole friends had put me through every day at school, but it meant a lot to me. "Corey, I have a dilemma," I told him when I arrived home, finding him still awake.
"Boy problems?" he asked, putting down the textbook he was reading.
"How did you know?"
"Kendall, you've been glowing the last couple of days."
"I have?"
"Did you not know?"
I thought about it. Despite how stressed I had been trying to figure out what I should do about Nero, I had been drunkenly happy.
"Maybe. At least you've seemed happier than you've been the 2 years I've known you."
"I guess, but I wouldn't describe it as boy problems. I just can't figure out what I should do."
I paused. "Wait, are you comfortable talking about this?"
"Why wouldn't I be?"
Corey asked, confused.
"I don't know how you straight boys work. Maybe this grosses you out or something."
"Kendall, we've been living together for years. Do you really think you talking about something that has made you happy could gross me out? What is it that you think of me?"
"I don't know. I guess I just get freaked out about this stuff sometimes."
"Fucking Evan Carter," he said, waiting for me to follow it with my line.
"About that."
"What?"
"So I might have gotten closure on the Evan Carter situation."
Corey sat up, giving me his full attention.
"How? Did I mention there's a boy?"
"I don't understand."
"If I remember my behavioral psychology class, I might have had something called learned helplessness. It's when you give up because you've decided that there's nothing you can do to escape the bad situation you're in. If you put rats in a cage and electrify the bottom of it, eventually they'll learn they can't escape the shocks, so they stop trying. So when you only electrify the small section they're standing on, they won't move. They've learned they're helpless to escape their situation, even though they're not." That might have been what had happened to me with Evan Carter. His constant bullying had taught me that I had no control over my life and that I was helpless to all the bad things that could happen. I was stuck in mud. The boy helped me out of it.
"How'd he do that?"
"He beat the shit out of Evan Carter," I said, worried what Corey would say.
"Oh."
He leaned back and went silent.
"It's wrong, right?"
"Well, it's not like he didn't have it coming. He did some shitty things to you." "I haven't even told you the humiliating stuff."
"There's more?"
he asked, stunned.
"Yeah, he was..."
I had to take a deep breath when the memories flooded my mind. "He was the devil," I decided.
"And after this guy did what he did?"
"I feel better. I don't feel scared all the time anymore. I feel like I can breathe for the first time in a long time."
"That's great."
"Yeah, but..."
"But what?"
"I don't know. Should I be worried? I mean, I met him because I'm supposed to be helping him adjust to school. And the reason I was asked to do it was because he's had some anger issues. Couldn't all of this be dangerous?"
Corey thought about it. "Do you feel like you're in danger?"
"That's just it. I feel incredibly safe around him. I feel like if I'm with him, there's nothing that can hurt me because he will protect me."
"Wow, that's pretty amazing. Who wouldn't want that?"
he said with more introspection than I would have expected. "So I take it that being with your girlfriend doesn't make you feel safe?" Corey looked up at me and laughed.
"Well, my girlfriend is a girl who's smaller than me, so no."
"What does her being a girl have to do with it?"
"You know, a guy is supposed to protect the girl he's with. That's probably what she's looking for from me."
"But there are other ways a person can make you feel safe, right? Like, maybe she makes you feel safe because you know that she will be there when you need her. Or maybe she makes you feel safe because you know she will always love you."
Corey looked at me, considering it for the first time.
"I guess.
Wow, you're really good at this."
He couldn't have said anything nicer. I blushed.
"Thank you.
So does she make you feel safe in any of those ways?" Maybe. I stared at him as his eyes saddened. But those aren't the ways you want to feel safe. Or maybe that you need to feel safe. Look, Kelly's a great girl, he said defensively. I didn't say she wasn't. And we weren't talking about me. We were talking about you. Don't try to change the topic. I guess I touched a nerve. You're right. We were talking about what I should do about Nero. So my dilemma is that he's going home this weekend, and he invited me to go with him. He wants you to see where he grew up. That's a good thing, isn't it? I guess. And he wants you to meet the people who are important to him. To me, that seems like he's taking things to the next level. Actually, I've already met a few of those people. I was just helping his brother's boyfriend put together a costume for a festival his town is hosting this weekend. It's their place we would be staying at. And Quinn invited me to come up for the weekend, too. This all sounds fantastic. Does it? Yeah, the guy invited you to learn more about him, and because his brother's boyfriend also invited you, the pressure would be off from it being a date. By the way, his brother has a boyfriend? I smiled. I guess hot and gay runs in their family. Although, I think they both might be bi. They're bisexual? Corey asked with more interest than I was willing to dive into right now. You should meet them. They're pretty cool. Even though they're football players. They're football players. Yeah, I said with a smile. Kendall, I don't even know who you are anymore. I laughed. I'm not sure I do either. But I think you should go. I've known you for a while. I've never seen you this into something, much less someone. What if he's your chance at happiness? Wouldn't it be worth taking the risk, even if there might be a few complications?